A reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. Listen for God's word. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, there's something in the music tonight that tells us Christmas is here. It's those carols that we sing maybe once or twice a year that remind us to sing love, to sing of your love found in the Christ child in a manger. Sing that love into our own hearts. Sing it into our families, into those we love. Sing it into places of darkness. Sing your love to people who need it. And send down your light upon us all, tonight and always. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts here be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to tell you about a place I've gone to for about 20 years, probably over 20 years. Nestled in some high cliffs above Big Sur, California. How many of you have been to Big Sur, California? Oh, good. That's great. You know where California is? Just like that. So high in these cliffs, I've gone up to a monastic community. It's called the New Camaldoli Hermitage. It's been there for a long time. I've always gone there. It's a cloistered community of faith. The brothers there kind of live behind these large concrete walls. But if you're a retreatant like me, you get to stay in a neat apartment. There's an apartment that kind of sits up over about 800 feet up on these cliffs, and you can look out over the Pacific Ocean. It's a beautiful view. It's gorgeous. I go there to kind of refresh my heart and to do some writing and to kind of sit in silence and kind of get my thoughts together. In all that time, I really have gone for about once or twice a year for over 20 years. I've only made an appointment to talk to one of the brothers one time. They're open to talk to anyone. They live in this silent kind of code of silence. But I thought, you know, I'll try it just once. So I made an appointment with Brother Isaiah. And Brother Isaiah and I, we met in this little cubicle. And I remember Brother Isaiah, listening to me, making small talk with me about his life in the monastery. He lived there for, I don't know, 30 or 40 years. And I talked about ministry. And finally he stopped and he said, "Ken, I can tell you're a make-it-happen kind of pastor. You're a do-it-all kind of pastor. You're a guy that brings change to the parish." And then this kind of look of amusement kind of went over his face. Kind of curious about that. I wasn't sure. I was glad I had made that appointment with him somehow. It was supposed to make me feel better, I think, but I didn't feel that better. And then I started to think, you know, maybe a make-it-happen pastor could never be a monk. Maybe that's what I was really feeling all along. And then Brother Isaiah asked me another question. He said, "Ken, if you could only have 10 minutes with God, what would you do? If you only had 10 minutes, if you only had 10 minutes with the one who loves you unconditionally and the one you love so much, if you only had 10 minutes with your spouse, if you only had 10 minutes with that person you love and adore so much and loves you right back, what would you do with 10 minutes? What would you do with 10 minutes with God? Would you spend the first 8 minutes just giving thanks and then the next 2 minutes just asking God to do something for you? What would you do if you had 10 minutes with God?" In the Christmas story, we hear of these shepherds. They make haste to the city of Bethlehem. They're in such a hurry. After the angel's proclamation, They rush to find Mary and Joseph and the child in a manger. And upon arriving, they rush and ramble through this story. They have the story to share about the angels showing up in the sky and this one angel speaking to them. They have so much to say. I wonder if they're in such a hurry because they need to get back to the sheep they left behind. They're just a little self-conscious. They need to get back to their flock. Anyway, they kind of rush through it. Then they run outside, right? They run outside praising God and going back to the flock. I guess I just hope, that the Gospel of Luke left out the part where the shepherds stood or knelt in awe for 10 minutes. I hope the Gospel writer left out that part where they could say nothing. They were in speechless silence and wonder, just taking it in, just being in the presence of God. Brother Isaiah's question haunts me. What would I do if I had 10 minutes with God? If I were like the shepherds, would I just rush through it? Would I have so much to say and so much to ask for? What if we were in the presence of God for 10 minutes? 10 minutes of peace. 10 minutes of realizing we are not alone. 10 minutes in the presence of the one who loves us unconditionally. 10 minutes to be in the presence of God's Son's birth. One morning at the monastery, I knew the monks, the brothers, would be getting up at about 5 a.m. to pray together in the chapel. And they kind of operate by a system of bells. These bells ring at different times. It calls you to prayer. They pray 5 times a day. Even in the evening hours and so forth. I knew they would be getting up early in the morning for morning vigils, but I got up a little earlier. I got up at 4:45 a.m. I wanted to go for a walk before I joined with prayer with the community, with the monastic community. I went for a walk down this road. There's a road leading up to the monastery. Again, it's high up in the cliffs, and it was dark and cold, and I was shivering. There's a bench at the end of that road I love to sit upon. So I walked down there and I sat down. I looked down southward, down the California coast. It's beautiful. And then I saw it. I saw something. In that early morning hour, when darkness was giving way to dawn, I saw a point of light way up on a ridge. I knew it was somebody's headlights. It had to be. Because as I saw that point of light move, it began to zigzag down switchbacks, back and forth, just winding down, descending slowly, ever so slowly, toward Highway 1 and the Pacific Ocean. And as I watched that dot of light descend, I thought, that's what Christmas is about. That's what this is about. It is about waiting for that descending light. It is about waiting for that descending light of Christ to come down upon us and give us peace. And I have to say, as I sat there on that bench, I could feel God's peace. And for a moment, I was not a make-it-happen pastor. I was not a pastor in a hurry or worrying for tomorrow, because as that light came down, I thought, this makes sense to me. This is that light that chases away the darkness. Listen again to Isaiah 2. Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. When Jesus was born, I'm sure there were people searching for that descending light. They longed for a Messiah to come and to save them from their enemies. Sitting in deep darkness, shivering in the cold, they just waited for that pinpoint of light to come down and give them peace. This is the light that we seek right now. We've come here with family and friends because we would like this light to descend upon us. We sing these carols. We light these candles. We desire God's light to descend from heaven and illumine all places of darkness. We ask that light to come down upon a person we're thinking about right now. Maybe someone who's not here. We want that light to shine on a son or a daughter or a parent or a friend. We want that light to come down upon Peter and Karen, some friends here in the church, members. We love them. We ask your prayers upon them. We ask that light to descend upon someone who has cancer. Oh God, may your light descend upon him or her. We want that light to come down upon places like Aleppo and Berlin and Charlottesville. We want that light to come down upon world leaders. For like Isaiah once prophesied, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Come, come light, descend on us now. Come, let us celebrate the birth of Christ.